Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate.
Mate, I thank you for taking the time to jump out of your function and talk to me. I really appreciate it.
That's all right. I've just left the former police commissioner and another radio star like Ben Fordham and a few others.
Right.
It's a good group.
Well, you must be having a nice lunch.
It is a great lunch, mate.
Mate, crossbench senators are considering joining forces next month to disrupt government debate in Parliament's first sitting week and hand the government an embarrassing loss of control as the Prime Minister digs in on his decision to cut the number of advisers for independents and minor parties. That was a story that made headlines this week. I mean, independents and minor parties having four advisers plus other staff. Your thoughts on that? What would you say? A bit too many people around?
Mate, you don't need four advisors if you're an independent on a back bench. Give me a break. That's ridiculous. I didn't realise that it ever got that high a number. But had I known, I'd have been campaigning to reduce it.
Well, it was written in one article this week that advisors can earn in excess of $150,000. So multiplied by four and you've got, you know, $600,000 on four advisors on staff. And as you say, for backbenchers, for goodness sake, I mean, gosh, how did it get to that stage? How was it allowed to get to that stage?
I don't know, because that is a stupid number. When you think about it, why would a backbencher require that sort of arsenal? I just don't understand it. You'd be flat out getting a minister with that many advisers, let alone a backbencher. It's just nonsense.
I saw that, was it Steve Pocock, the new minister for the ACT? He came out and he was all vocal about it. And I thought, how would you know, mate? You're a newbie. You've never been to Parliament.
No, he's only been in the joint 5 minutes, or not even 5 minutes.
Ah, dear. What do they call it when you go to a new job and you have your day where you walk around and you meet everybody, the introduction day? There's a name for it. You're the wordsmith. What's that called? The induction day. There you go, Richo. The induction.
Yes.
Induction. I see the newbies had their induction day this week into Canberra. That'd be fun to attend and follow.
I never went.
Didn't you? Why?
Oh, look, mate, if you don't know what's happening in the Parliament and how to get around it, you shouldn't be running for it. So I just didn't attend. Didn't seem to hold me back much.
It didn't, did it? No. The Prime Minister says a strong and united NATO is in Australia's strategic interests as he called on the democratic nations to stay the course on their support for Ukraine in the face of Russia's brutal invasion. I tell you what, the Prime Minister has done us proud at NATO, hasn't he?
He's done very, very well, and I'm glad he's used that sort of language because, you know, we've got to be able to send Putin some kind of message. And that means not only a united West, because I think the West is completely united on denouncing what Putin has done, but also it's got to be vocal about it. We've got to pressure this folk. We've got to keep saying it. We've got to make sure that the sanctions are strong and are working, and we kick the hell out of anyone who's trying to be a sanction buster. You know, we've really got to work on this. Putin set up a regime where he thinks he can get away with literally anything. And we've got to make sure he gets to learn that that is not the case.
I had all the good guests on this afternoon. I was talking to a colleague of yours that you have had many times on your TV show, Dr. Keith Suter. He was a guest on my program this afternoon.
Very knowledgeable man.
Oh, he's wonderful, isn't he? And he was saying this war looks like it could become not months. I mean, he predicted this months ago when we spoke that this wasn't going to be a short event. He said, and again, we talked about it this afternoon, this is looking very much like it could go on for years and years. But what is that going to do? I mean, as we touched on to financially, with all these sanctions against Russia, what is that going to do to the Russians? But this going on for years and years, my God, what is it going to do to the rest of the world? We're in a mess now as a result of it.
Well, it's not going to help, that's for sure. But of course, Russia's a distinct case. In Russia, the poor just are ignored completely, and the oligarchy around which you've seen Putin build his regime, those oligarchs, they just keep going. And, of course, they pour money into Putin. He's managed to become one of the top 20 richest people in the world, and he's had an annual salary of $300,000 for 20 years.
It's not bad, is it?
Very interesting, because I earn a bit more than that. I'm not the 20 richest men in the world.
Yeah. He's been able to get away with, well, I was about to say blue murder, but he's been able to get away with murder literally, hasn't he, too many times.
Oh, he is a murderous thug. Let us not hold back here. He's a grub of the worst water, this bloke.
The other news that came out of the United States this week, which looks, I don't know, to me it sends the United States back, what, 50 years, and I see our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, he reacted to the overturning of the abortion rights in the United States. He said the decision to terminate a pregnancy was a deeply personal decision, and this came after the Supreme Court decided to overturn Roe versus Wade last week. I mean, the 1973 case ensured for the past 50 years that women had a federal right to access abortion services, but at this point in time, that seems to have all changed.
Now, this has happened because in these last couple of years, Trump stacked the bench. And it is now dominated by religious conservatives. And so that decision was not unexpected, not a surprise, but it is the result of Trump once again stuffing up his job. And that's something he became very good at.
Trump made the news this week for all the wrong reasons. Can you see Trump running for the presidency in 2024?
Look, it's obvious that he's angling to do so. But frankly, I would be surprised if the Republican Party would be stupid enough to allow it. If he does run, he will do very poorly, much worse than he did the last time. Americans have made pretty clear that they're over it. And the sorts of nonsense he was going on with, claiming I was robbed at the last election, and he turns up, of course, with no evidence whatsoever of any electoral fraud, this bloke's just becoming a joke and a sook. I mean, he just sulks when he doesn't win.
That was a great story. That was told this week about him throwing his McDonald's lunch on a porcelain plate against the wall with the tomato sauce dripping down and probably the two patties or something dripping down the wall because he didn't get his way or someone didn't agree with what he said. I mean, you could just see it, couldn't you? The hair flying around and the burger flies across the room and it smashes the porcelain plate.
Yeah, I experienced a situation like that once when Kerry Packer was demanding of me that I, because I was communications minister, give him pay television. And I told him I couldn't do it. And he saw the sausages and eggs and bacon all hit the window, or hit the wall, I should say, and just the eggs dripping down gradually. It was quite a sight.
Dear Richard Marles this week, the Defence Minister and Acting Prime Minister, he admitted Australia won't have a nuclear submarine in the water until the 2040s, although he said they're looking at ways, as in his government, is looking at ways to close the, he called it the capability gap. He blamed the previous government for failing to settle on a deal for new submarines. We backed out, of course, of the deal with France to join the AUKUS pact with the United States. Your thoughts on that, Graham? I mean, 2040s by the time we get a nuclear submarine in the water. Goodness me, the world, the way it's going, I mean, we're 2022 now. In 18 years' time, it is going to be a vastly different world than what we are today.
Yes, on defence, the Morrison government dillied and dallied and then did nothing. And it was, it's really a tragic waste of time. And I'd have to say, even worse than that, a travesty in terms of letting Australia down. The only kind of defence you can have is a forward submarine defence. And the Morrison government just walked away from making a decision for years. And now we're all paying the penalty of that dillying and dallying.
We are. Did you know it was decided, one of the decisions, one of the many decisions that was decided at NATO this week with all the nation's leaders there, that they will spend, they'll go back home, and each country has agreed to spend at least 2% of their GDP on defence, right?
Yep.
I looked up how much Australia spends on defence. Do you know we already spend 2.1% of GDP on defence?
Yeah, we've picked up our defence spending in the last decade. We've let it go for a while, but successive governments from both sides have tried to try and remediate that problem over the course of the last 10 years.
Just before I let you go, comments on the strikes that have affected New South Wales. We had the teacher strike yesterday. It was both public schools and Catholic schools. First time in, 25 years they agreed to strike together. And, of course, it continues, this dispute, this rail dispute. I mean, Sydneysiders faced another disrupted commute today, despite the New South Wales government agreeing to spend more than a quarter of a billion dollars, $264 million to meet the Transport Union's safety upgrade demands. It seems on the rail dispute that when the New South Wales government give them what they want, they come up with something else.
Yeah, it's I must say, it doesn't look good from the union side. It looks like they're too trigger happy on strikes just at the moment. And I think the union leadership need to have a good think about that. I mean, it's easy for us to talk about it. We're not low-paid railway workers. And they are among the lowest paid workers in the country. So I can understand their desire for more. But when the crunch comes, governments can only give what they can reasonably afford. They're spending our money, and we hope that they're very careful about the way in which they spend it.
And I was watching the news, 6 o'clock news last night, and all of a sudden it came up, headlines, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, and I thought, hello, Barilaro's resigned. He did. He resigned from the job he never took up. What a story this has been. What a complete mess this has been.
It has been a total disaster, and it's been going on for too long. And, you know, Barra's a great mate of mine, and has been for years. He's a terrific fella, but this was a bridge too far. This was never going to go down well with the mob. And if it's not going to go down well with the mob, then you'll see government start to walk away from the decision they made. And so I'm not surprised the government gave in.
My old man used to say this, and I thought of him last night. He used to say, son, that would be a complete, and it was, son, it was a complete cock-up. It really was, wasn't it, the Barilaro situation? It was a complete cock-up.
Everything about it was handled poorly. And it, you know, unfortunately, it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths about Barilaro, who doesn't deserve it. He's a good guy.
Okay, I'll let you get back to your function. Again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We really enjoy speaking with you each and every week. You take care, have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Mate, I wouldn't miss our chats, that's for sure.